Maybe all meaningful journeys begin with a mistake, some kind of transgression or false turn or flawed idea that sets a certain irresistible odyssey in motion. Growing up in small-town Ontario, where the tallest summit was a haystack and the widest horizon a field of corn, my blunder seemed obvious, though it wasn't exactly my fault. I was born centuries too late for the life I was meant to live. Restlessness runs in my family, though with my parents it mostly found expression in real estate. For the first decade of my life, we lived in Oakville, a suburb not far from Toronto. But after spending their own childhoods mucking horse stalls and tending vegetable gardens, my engineer father and artist mother wanted the same rustic upbringing for my younger brothers and me. So when I was 10, we moved to a few acres of cedar forest and swamp north of Ballinafad. This no-stoplight hamlet is a quaint tourist trap today, with the general store dealing in embroidered saddle pads and overpriced potpourri. But when I was a kid, it was the kind of place even the school bus sped through to get somewhere else. When I was 14, we moved again, this time southeast of Ballinafad, to a horse farm with 70 acres of woods and pastures, two spring-fed ponds, a barn full of empty boxes and shafts of dusty light, a log cabin so tiny I could almost touch any two walls at once, and a crumbling structure that once served as a sheep shed. But no house. Somehow, three restless kids, two patient adults, a barely house-trained Labrador puppy, and an indoors-only Abyssinian cat with an escapist streak, crammed into a 12-foot trailer for our first 6 months there, which was long enough to renovate the rundown sheep shed into a human dwelling of sorts. I say of sorts because it had a composting toilet instead of a septic system, a mouse once hitched a ride to school in my brother's backpack, and a snake slithered over my feet one spring when I was doing homework. Details that only mildly embarrassed my parents, but delighted me, for they only enhanced the adventure of living there. "Race you to the sheep shed," I'd challenge my brothers as we spilled from the station wagon after a grocery run to town. "The cottage," my mother would correct me, insistent that the truth of a thing lay in its spirit, not the letter of its original design. But I was already off and running. Compared to the trailer, the renovated sheep shed felt palatial at 900 square feet. I didn't even mind sharing a bedroom for a few years with my brothers. In our previous home, where I'd had my own room, I would always hear Dave and James chatting and laughing through the wall, cracking jokes or doing impersonations of teachers we shared over the years, like Mrs. Dingwall, whose madcap name contrasted beautifully with her elegant British accent, or Miss Pillen, a physics teacher who threw chalk around the classroom to demonstrate the weak force of gravity, thereby establishing for her students a lifelong association between theoretical science and the instinct to duck. In the morning, our parents would find me cocooned in a duvet on my brother's floor, unwilling to miss the fun for the sake of a soft mattress. With few kids our age nearby, the three of us had to entertain each other. So we'd putter down to the pond on the lawn tractor, hauling sand in the trailer to build a beach, until Dave backed a little too close to the edge and the heavy load dragged the lawn tractor into the water. Or we'd pull backflips for hours on our trampoline, pretending we were on smaller planets, Pluto or Mars, whose gravities didn't weigh us down as much. Then one winter, James tried to clear the trampoline of ice for some off-season practice, and accidentally hacked through it with a pickaxe. We still jumped on it for years, expertly avoiding the hole, until a visiting friend ripped through it and put an end to our experiments in soaring. After our grandmother informed us that we were related to William Clark of Lewis and Clark, we set off on rusty bikes to pioneer a new route to the Pacific, stopping to resupply our expedition rations of red licorice at the Ballinafad General Store. But whatever direction we roamed, my brothers and I would inevitably hit a wall. Sometimes it would be a fence, which we could scramble over, but more often a highway or cookie-cutter housing complex, paved and implacable, would stop us dead.